Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 18th year. This podcast is sponsored by Pavilion Payments, which empowers gaming institutions to create an enhanced patron experience with a complete suite of integrated payment solutions that enable safe, secure, and trusted cash access at the cage, on the casino floor, or online. Learn more at pavilionpayments.com. Our guests today are David Lopez, CEO, and Julia Bogoslavsky, Chief Marketing Officer of gaming supplier AGS. Both executives have been involved in the rapid rise of AGS in the slot sector for the past 5 years and in the development of the Game On User Conference, which just completed its sixth annual edition. Thanks for being on the podcast, both of you.
Thanks for having us. Yeah. I didn't know you're the longest running, so that's good news to hear.
Yes, we are. You've just completed the sixth annual Game On Conference. Let's start by describing the conference and how it came about.
Why don't you go and describe it, and I'll talk about how it came about.
Yes. So Game On is a unique conference. I know, Frank, you've been many years in the past. The AGS does as a way of giving back to its customers. So we've kept it at a size of about 200 or so people total, including AGS folks, speakers, some sponsors, and then a little over 100 customers. And our intention was really to do something that was a way of saying thank you for our customers, you know, and for their support of AGS, and to also try to advance the industry forward, to offer something where customers could come and they could be sort of, you know, invigorated, right, and learn about topics that are inside the industry, but also outside of the industry. And we kind of thought that was a unique angle too. Like, we will bring in speakers that are talking about disruptive tech and how that affects us as consumers, as parents, as just humanity as a whole sometimes, right? So we did this as a way that we could say, hey, if we're doing our jobs right, we're selling to you guys 364 other days out of the year. But Game On is our opportunity. It's our time for us to say, sit back, have fun, get to know one another, spend time with our team, and hopefully you walk away feeling smarter, you know, and enlightened, and maybe just more curious about certain topics. And I think year after year, we're able to do that. And it comes from sort of that unique blend of speakers and the time and attention that we give to the agenda.
Mm-hmm. So the genesis of it, I think you probably know, Julia came to me with sort of this idea, and it wasn't this idea. I had to refine it to be this. It really wasn't what it is today. Actually, she brought me this exact idea, right? And I wasn't a fan of these conferences. You probably know that at this point. But I will admit, I reluctantly approved the first year. And the first year was in Miami, and raging success. I was blown away. I wasn't involved in the planning at all. That tells you that these guys are great, and you know, keeping me out of it actually makes it better. But the entire conference was so fantastic. The salespeople said, you know, sorry to the AGA and Reed, but they said it was much more successful than G2E for us, a more powerful event. You know, having customers for a 2 or 3 day period and not selling. That was the trick. Julia said we're not going to sell, and we've stuck to that now for 6 years.
Hey, great. What's your evaluation of this year's conference, beginning with the fortuitous timing of your welcome reception with the Knights hoisting the cup?
Nice.
Yeah, so I mean, marketing's good, but sometimes it's good to be lucky too, right? First night there when customers arrived, and you know, what are you going to do? And we had something planned for out at the pool. And I think it was a little windy and it might have rained that day and some other things. So, you know, GSR and our team pivoted pretty quickly. But yeah, we got lucky, right? Knights won that night. It was, it made the party sort of, we could say, two or three times better and more interesting than it even would have been. So, yeah, good timing there. The conference overall was another success. Mm-hmm. Going into the conference this year, I said, hey, maybe we're going to take a year off and sort of refresh and think about how we want to attack this 2 years from now, so we can make it, you know, better. We always want to make it great. We're very critical of the event all the way around, and the programming is very important because we're not just up there pitching. Mm-hmm. So after this event, you know, I might be thinking twice about that one, because the feedback again is I might have made a comment on stage that will skip a year, mm-hmm. and that comment wasn't terribly popular. So we, you know, we will probably be doing it in 2024. No location yet. I know that probably will come up. No location yet. We're thinking about SpaceX and keeping it really small group. But we'll see what the budget has, which it won't be that big.
Always. What I'll add on to that, Frank, too, is with this year, I think some people initially, maybe even who are in this room sitting next to me, were a little bit hesitant on like Reno as a location. Like we try, as you know, we go East Coast, West Coast, we've gone Central before. It's always sort of a challenge to pick like an ideal location that's a great customer partner of AGS, that has a great showing of both of our product slots and tables, and who has sort of the ballroom, you know, capabilities, right, to do what we need from an AV side. But I think we were all like, you know, Grand Sierra is a fantastic property and is, you know, full scale. But I think we were all like really pleasantly surprised by just like the quality of the conference being in Reno. And one thing we did this year that was new was a casino crawl on the last day. And we hadn't done one before. Usually by Thursdays, you know, Frank, we are tired and everybody is like pretty spent because it's so busy. But doing that crawl was awesome because we got to get a real flavor for the market. We went to Atlantis, we went to Peppermill, we ended up at The Row, I think was our last spot. But that was a really cool new thing that we had done. And we had a lot of customers say, I haven't been to Reno in like, you know, 20 years, 30 years, even 10 years. And a lot had changed, but also a lot hadn't. There were some things that still were very like, you know, specific to the market. So I think where we had it this year was great. The golf was, of course, beautiful. We tried to do some of those social activities more in the Tahoe area, which is just spectacular in June. And then we did a very fun concert on Wednesday night with a yacht rock band, which I think people were thinking that band is going to be like 70 years old, but it's actually a bunch of younger people who have a lot of energy. And that was a lot of fun and something different. We've never done like a private concert before. So
thunderstorms in Tahoe are a can't miss. I must say.
We just can't get away from the rain. The same thing with Florida last year. We said, there's no way we're in the Tahoe area. It never rains there in the summer. And we
got some.
Yeah, it's
a tradition.
It is. Rain on. That's what we're going to call it. Rain on.
Now onto the conference itself. Artificial intelligence was a dominant topic in some of the sessions. What were the takeaways from the presentation by Dr. Jennifer Golbeck, the University of Maryland expert?
Go ahead, man.
So Dr. Golbeck just did a phenomenal job. I mean, her session was, I think, the top ranked overall. As you know, Frank, we ask all the customers and folks who attend to talk about the sessions and rank them, and hers was sort of overwhelmingly at the top. She talked about, you know, AI, listen, it's here. We've heard that from everybody, right? At the conference, it's here and it's moving at the speed of light. But Jennifer talked about, hey, AI is still really stupid in some ways, which is interesting when she came out and kind of said that. She said there's so many things that it is good at, but talked about how it can't replace the human touch in a number of different areas. One, like with creativity, right? Because AI is always just using what it has available. So even though it can do some things that seem like they're creative, it's just borrowing on things that are already out there. So when it comes to really like new design or things that are really, really creative and innovative, it's not always the best at that, but it's excellent for like operational efficiencies for repetitive tasks. She also talked about, as we advance, you know, whether it's social media and some of, you know, how AI is impacting everything, like thinking about things like privacy. And I think that was what really resonated with a lot of people, was that our devices, right, Roomba, Alexa, that they're listening to you.
You can't even
turn your phone off fully disable. That was really mind-blowing. Like she talked about all the ways you think you can disable location services or the microphone, and that now it won't be able to know things about you. And in case, I think you have to actually just smash your phone if you want it to not have so much data about you. And so I think customers were really interested to hear that and to hear that angle. And also social media, when you're liking something or you're following something, what you're actually, the information you're actually telling some of these social media platforms is crazy, right? And you end up getting these hyper-personalized ads, or, and it knows who you're friends with and what your friends are interested in. And that was, the whole session was like, you know, slide after slide. I think people were really like, wow. So that was, you know, AI, and then also talking just about some other things related to social media. For some of our other speakers with AI, it was cool. This is what GameOn tries to do. We try to show like a very broad, very comprehensive look at a topic. So we heard from like gaming analytics, and Kieran walked us through, look, in the gaming space, there's so much opportunity, right? Like for, to resolve operational bottlenecks. And we know that, right? We've always had the data, tons and tons and tons of data, but we haven't always had the context and been able to make like fast decisions, or really like even know what we're looking at to be able to make certain key decisions. So I think gaming analytics and that whole session was really interesting for us to kind of take that look at how we could apply it, you know, to our own industry. Amazon's been doing predictive analytics, right, for years, and you can see that in the way things are, you know, how we're targeted, right, as consumers. But it was really, I think, a very comprehensive look at how AI, the implications and the applications across a number of different fronts.
Yeah, she was popular. The one thing I learned as a speaker is if you scare the shit out of people, you're the number one rated speaker at the conference. So I'm going to work on that next time.
Yes.
It's very interesting. I think that people gobbled that one up. A little bit of a sleeper coming in. We weren't sure. And she ended up really knocking the cover off the ball and sort of explaining where AI is going to be and maybe where it won't be for quite some time. So I thought that was great.
Now, did you want to... give me some takeaways from some of your other panels? Table game technology, managing slot inventory, I thought was quite interesting.
Yeah, so again, I think we really pride ourselves on spending so much time on the quality of the agenda, because even though, listen, we come for the fun, we come for the networking and to get everybody together, you've really got to deliver on these sessions, and you need to make sure it's a great mix of like presentations, panels. One thing that I think we do really well is every single session we have, we leave like ample time for Q&A, and every single session this year had Q&A that David had to cut off for time because people could have kept going. I think that's a testament to the size too, that people are like, hey, I know the AGS team, and this isn't 400, 500, 1,000 people where I'm way too scared to ask a question, but I think the size, and then again, the quality of the panels and the topics that were brought up, you know, definitely contributed to that. So we had, a number of sessions, you know, that touched on AI, and then just a lot of like, I think the overarching theme, whether it was with Tangam and Ari on the table game panel, or Real Metrics, you know, Nick Hogan and Kieran talking about gaming analytics, was data optimization, right? Like optimization on the floor, whether it's the pit, whether it's the slot floor, how all the data that we have, what can we do with it in order to create, like, again, more efficiencies, better locations, you know, wager information conversions. I mean, gosh, Real Metrics, there's a ton of different things, right, that you can look at. But a player segmentation, right? And he talked about inventory imbalances. That's a big theme, right? Like when you look at your floor, is everything performing, you know, to its highest level? And the answer is often, right, no. So now the AI is allowing us to move so much faster and process so much more information, gaming data, and even data that's like not gaming data to help us with the player profile. There's just enormous opportunity, you know, for optimization and finding out, like, you know, just ways to make better decisions with game mix. That was a prevalent theme with like tables and slots, like your game mix and what you have on your floor. And, you know, there's not an insignificant part of the floor, you know, whether it's on slots or tables, maybe that's being, you know, fully optimized. And so how do you do that? So that was kind of an overarching theme. Also, Ari and the table game panel talked about making games fun again, like making, you know, table games are supposed to be so fun. So are slots, of course, but putting the fun back into gaming. And how do you do that? You know, progressives have allowed the industry to be able to offer all sorts of cool, I think you called it, Frank, big money jackpots. Yes. And that used to just be something you saw in slots, but progressives have enabled that now. So the table game player, you know, whether it's a must hit buy or a mystery progressive, they have all sorts of ways,
life-changing events
I mean, or just fun, like, yeah. Oh, anticipation and fun. So they did talk a lot about making that fun again. It should be fun to sit at the table.
Yeah. One of our customers had, you know, one of our customers had a BSX progressive above 1.2 million yeah. While we were at the show. When I say they had it, they didn't hit it, but back home casino, they had one that high. So that adds a lot of excitement, obviously. Casinos. I think the interesting thing is AI was like the headline, but you can almost drop the A if you want to. Uh-huh. It's just intelligence, and I think the intelligence that's sort of being used by Real Metrics and Gaming Analytics and others, it's just probably making the casinos so much more efficient, and it's changing the way, in my opinion, how they look at games. You know, where we can look at it and say, hey, geez, you know, our performance is really good, but we're still like AGS, right? We're not some of the other companies as far as name and cachet and history and everything, but our games are performing or outperforming some others in the space, you know, and Eilers can sort of show that. But what is AI or just I, right, doing? It's putting it in front of the customers and saying, hey, this is how we see it. And this is a proven fact. And you're underrepresented. You know, these companies are underrepresented. We happen to be one of them. But the beauty of it is that operators can use this intelligence, in some cases, artificial intelligence, to make great decisions. And I think they put that together with their experience and it ends up being a great result for them. Mm-hmm. You know, but at Game On, as you know, you've been there. Have you been there all 6 years?
Yes, until this year. This is the first.
Oh, until that's right. So you've been there all years other than this one. And at the end of the day, you know that we're sort of just trying to move the industry forward. I'm always specific about trying to, right? We're making the attempt to move our great industry forward. We're not guaranteeing we're going to move forward, right? We're trying hard. I go to the gym, you know, I'm trying to look really good. It's not working for me, but I'm trying. That's what's important, right? I'm trying to get better. And as a company, we feel like Game On is an event that not only, you know, are you giving back to the customers, but we hope we're giving back to the industry and we're moving the industry forward. And you know, making people like, I like to think about Bo Bernhardt at UNLV and how, you know, how this is so important to him and how UNLV and Bo try to move the industry forward all the time. And I think they do a great job.
Mm-hmm. So one more question. I know it's not about selling, but was there any new AGS products that you highlighted at the conference?
Nope. No, I'm joking. So she can talk a little bit about it. I'll give the preamble of, I know you, I'm going to reiterate, we don't do any selling at G2E. We do have a small little area with table games, progressives, slot machines. Obviously, we showcased a little bit of Spectre 48 and the products that are performing phenomenally, both there and from the table game progressive point of view. You've been there. That's the space for our customers to leisurely sort of, you know, wander around, grab a salesperson, ask some questions. But I think, you know, not to switch direction too much on you, and then Julia can bring it back to your question, is I think the best thing about what we were doing and how we arranged the show this year is we had that, like we always do. We don't, you know, we don't force it upon anybody. We also have it in an area where there's our breakfast and lunch, mm-hmm. et cetera. Mm-hmm. People can opt to do it, or they can opt to network. And I think between that setup that we had this year, excuse me, and the lunch that we had on the lake, while some were golfing, so obviously people are out there golfing and networking together, But I'd say one of the cool bits of feedback is really before we even got to that night's game and we got to the bar and we got to the bowling alley and did all that stuff, I had customers saying, you know, it's such a simple thing. You guys set up a lunch on the lake. It's beautiful. The food is good, all that fun stuff. But man, it wasn't just about networking. The idea sharing and sort of intelligence or thought sharing starts before the show even really gets started, right? Before Game On really gets kicked off. So I'll throw it back to her on the product stuff. But I think that the team, as always, makes spaces. And A, we're making memories, right? We're making memories for people, you know, to come and spend time together and have fun and do things. But we're also creating time and space and little micro events so our customers really can, you know, meet, network, but also share a lot, where in a lot of cases you don't have time for that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think David Yeah, products. No, I think David did a good job talking about that at a high level. And he's right. We do have that, you know, area that's sort of off the ballroom where it's not like mandated, like go and look at our products. It's just, it's very optional and they're there. And we end up getting a really good crowd that kind of walks around and has just casual conversations, right? Mm-hmm. So we had more product than ever before this year, mainly due to the fact that we had a lot of great space. So we were able to bring more. And of course we brought, you know, Spectra, and we're just really proud of Spectra's performance so far. It's number one, you know, portrait upright in the Ehlers survey since December. That's not selling, that's just a fact. It's just a fact. But yeah, the other thing that I think always goes a long way is that if you walk the GSR floor, our product was everywhere, like great showing of slots, great showing of some of our latest table game innovation. And I think that that's really the key, right? It's nice to see something at a trade show or have your own product, but customers had the opportunity to see, you know, firsthand customer players, you know, on the floor and playing our games for real money. So I think that makes a big difference. And it's just sort of a subtle backdrop, right, to the whole conference. Like, hey, we're also surrounded by AGS games. But
Right. I you know, I believe the first time I ever saw a Bonus Spin Extreme was at a Game On.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We will bring.
Before it was officially launched. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we didn't even try to sell it to you. See, it was great.
No, you did. Well, listen, thanks a lot, Julia and David, for being on the podcast today. And we will look closely to hear about the next Game On and when and where it will be. And we will see you at G2E.
Good.
Yes,
we'll sounds see you there, good. Man. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast, sponsored by Pavilion Payments. Learn more about the full suite of gaming solutions available at pavilionpayments.com. To learn more about the topic we just discussed, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.